Welcome back, everyone, to Booking the Territories Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. We are here, Mike Mills and Doc Turner, and this week we are talking episode 15 of Smoky Mountain Wrestling from May the 9th of 1992. Doc, how has your week been, man? You been doing all right?
Oh, I'm living the dream just like I am every week, but it's not really about me today. Well, it kind of is always about me, but man, episode 15, you're going to have to wait till the end to get your disability checks, but this might be the hottest episode yet, so I'm ready to get talking about it.
You think it's the hottest episode yet, maybe?
I think so. It could be.
Okay.
We'll have to wait till the end when we dole out those the government cheese, but I don't know, man. This is a good one, and I thought there's a lot going on here, and I'm ready to talk about it.
When we dole out the checks, the cheese, the cheddar. Okay.
Hey, I did. I actually, you know, I'm a crack researcher, so I did a little bit of work on our location. Do you want me to provide you with a little background of what part of the where exactly in hillbilly territory we are here?
You always insult the good people there. Well, we are in Lincoln. We are at Lincoln Memorial University in Harrogate, Tennessee. And go ahead and enlighten us with whatever you've done, Mr.
Well,
PhD.
I think in some just very, very cursory looking that we are on the Tennessee-Kentucky border. So, you know, just the mere fact that they have a college there is a little bit surprising. And I wonder if they have, like, degrees in, you know, coloring and inside the lines and all kinds of other good stuff that, you know, how to mine coal the best way. This was an interesting one because this city or this designated area had been around since the 1800s, but had only officially been designated as a city in 1992. So they were just celebrating themselves becoming a city, and I guess they did it by bringing in some Smoky Mountain wrestling. So good for them.
Wait. Why would you insult and say why would they have a college there? I mean, you could say that about some Texas towns. Come on now.
Well, when we do our world class review show in several years when we're done with Smoky Mountain and they do spot shows in shitty towns around here, I'll make fun of those sons of bitches.
You mean they had shitty towns in Texas when World Class did spot shows?
Well, they weren't on TV, though. That's the problem, is the TV was always in Dallas and Fort Worth. But during the week, they were out in the little bitty towns where,
and the boaties.
You know, I'll just say, I'll just cut to the chase. A bunch of cousin fuckers.
Okay. That's real classy of you. But anyway, let's get into Smoky Mountain Wrestling now. So we are, again, episode number 15 of Smoky Mountain Wrestling from May 9th of 1992, Lincoln Memorial University, Harrogate, Tennessee. If I'm not saying that right, anyone in the Smoky Mountain area, please let me know when this episode drops. Bob and Dutch, opening promo of the segment and opening segment of the show. Bob Cottle was promoting the Volunteer Slam for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight title and tells us that tickets are now on sale. Dutch is wearing the Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight title and the Smoky Mountain Wrestling tag team titles. Dutch tells us that he's no stranger to belts. He's owned tens of hundreds of them, and May 22nd is going to be a wild night when these things are awarded. Now, Doc, we've never had this discussion. When you first saw the Smoky Mountain belts, the tag and the heavyweight, obviously, that are on display here by Dutch, what were your initial thoughts?
I'm kind of a guy that, I'm not big on the belts. They work. I'm not down on the belts. In general, I'm not a huge fan of the belts unless they really offend my sensibilities, like most of the WWE belts currently do. Obviously, the one that is the standard bearer for me, and I think I've said this in the past, is the old NWA strap. To me, that is the one that stands head and shoulders above everyone else. These are fine. I mean, they don't jump off the page for me, but I don't know that any belt is, and it's certainly better than a fucking spinning WWE belt that they had a few years ago. So I like the fact that you get to see the trophies that everybody's going to be starting to fight for, and we're going to award some champions here pretty soon.
Yeah, buddy. So I kind of agree with you to a point. I think the look of a belt can be a little overrated because at the end of the day, if the storyline and the belt is in the storyline that goes along with the belt is treated right and booked appropriately, I don't know if it really fucking matters what the actual belt looks like as much as, you know,
Hey, if they shat upon the that classic NWA belt at every left and right turn, it doesn't matter what it looks like.
Right, exactly. I agree with you there. Okay, let's go to the first match of the night, which is Robert Gibson against Barry Horowitz, my most underrated person of all time, pretty much. People talk about Ricky Morton being the guy who was the one who would sell of the two in the Rock and Roll, but Gibson sells Horowitz punches and all of his moves that they get during this match as it gets going on like a pro. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, my note here was Gibson's a hell of a pro wrestler.
Oh, he's great. His ability to sell. I mean,
he's one half of the best tag team in the history of the world.
Totally agree. Did you hear that at the Eye of Gibson? There you go. We make fun of your promos sometimes, but guess what? In the ring, you're the fucking man. Jimmy Golden joins Dutch at the desk, and he talks about how Gibson won't be a problem getting past in the first round of the Volunteer Slam. He even tells Bob Caudle how he's beaten Gibson's brother in the past. It was a mild exchange by comparison to what we normally hear on commentary. Dutch also during the match reiterates that he's predicting Golden to beat Gibson in the Volunteer Slam, which we heard on last week's episode. Dutch also states that he sees Horowitz turning around his losing streak soon and getting it together. We need to recall as we walk through Smoky Mountain Wrestling that Barry Horowitz has not won a match in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. He's probably the most talented wrestler who has not won a match in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Yet Tim Horner has won plenty of them. The finish comes out of nowhere. Horowitz goes to hip toss Gibson. Gibson blocks it. And then Horowitz falls asleep as he's standing there and Gibson hits Horowitz with a standing bulldog. I'm not Mauro Ranallo, so that's what I'll call it. Doc, what did you think about our opening match of the night?
You see Gibson a lot in opening matches, just like we see Holly a lot, Bob Holly in opening matches a lot. Good match to start. Two good guys getting it going, setting the tone. No spoiler here, but I don't know if you should expect Barry Horowitz to win many matches in Smoky Mountain in his run here. And I thought that Gibson kind of bulldogged him out of nowhere. It looked like one of those stunners or RKOs out of nowhere. So there you go. Robert Gibson, you taught Randy Orton and DDP and Stone Cold how to do a move finishing move out of nowhere.
All right. So real quick, we got Jim Cornette. I'm saying real quick, but I want to say this because I did queue up the promo and I'm going to play it live for us. So we got Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies in the next segment. And before I start this promo, if you're watching along with us, which many of you are, I assume, we have the official TV debut of Stan Lane's toupee. And boy, it just appears fluffy to me. Doc, anything before I jump into and queue up this promo about Stan Lane's hairdo? Anything? Stan did not need this. I heard Dr. Tom say this on the 605 Super podcast like a few weeks back when Brian Last had him on, and I think they talked about it, and Dr. Tom said, I guess Stan was self-conscious of it, but in actuality it made him look worse to me than him just being natural.
I said it. This made him look older, and he went from looking like a 1987 stud to a buffoon.
And here's like the thing, man. Like Stan, we like you, man. Your work, everything you do is great. Your promos, you're in the ring. It's fantastic, man. You are one of the best tag teams of all time, or a part of one of the best tag teams of all time.
A couple of the best tag teams.
All right.
The fabulous ones was Steve Kern. Then he was in the Midnight Express, and he's in the Heavenly Bodies. But this is one of the more bewildering things that I've seen. Just, I don't know.
It's hard to put into words until you, like, when you watch it, you're like, oh shit, look at this. This is unreal. But
wait till you see what they do with it in a few weeks.
Oh, dear God. Dear God. Okay, so I was going to talk through the promo, but you know what? I got it queued up, so we're going to play it. So we're going to play it right here. This is Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies as they are interrupted by the Fantastics and the Fultons. Here it is, everyone.
Fans, the big night, the big event, Knoxville, Tennessee, on Friday, May 22nd, the Volunteer Slam. Three guys right here that are going to have a lot of say about it. Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Body.
Right there. You see right there? That's right, darling. You want them. That's why you came here tonight. You want both of them. Let me tell you something. I'm getting so sick and tired of hearing everybody say the Heavenly Bodies shouldn't be the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champions. The Heavenly Bodies don't represent those belts well. The Heavenly Bodies aren't good guys to be wearing titles. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know where you get this impression, get this picture, that the Fantastics are a bunch of white knights in shining armor, but I got a little different picture to paint for you. Because, see, I've known Bobby Fulton for a long time. Since 1984, I've hated his guts every stinking second of it. And now his brothers come along. They say they're from the City of the Angels. They ain't from the City of the Angels, brother. They're from Chillicothe, Ohio. That's exactly right. They're from Chillicothe, Ohio, and I've been there. And I've asked about the Fantastics or the Fulton brothers around town. You know what I found out? The whole Fulton family's a bunch of stinking trash. Their father's never worked a day in his life. He's a bum laying on a street corner with a whiskey bottle in his back pocket, begging for whatever penny he's got. But don't worry, because while he's out drunk, his mother, idiot. Hey,
wait a minute, Bobby, here comes the Fulton. Wait a minute, wait a minute.
Hey, I want to tell you something right now, Cornette. I never let a man talk about our mama like that, and I never considered you a man. If your boys got the guts, get in the ring right now. We're going to kick their ass all over the building. That's right.
Come here. I'll tell you something else about your mama.
Oh, wait a minute. Hey, Commissioner Bob Arm.
I'll tell you something else about your mama. She never was lonesome while your dad was out drunk, because anybody with 30 minutes to kill and 10 bucks to spend could keep her company.
Hey, Bobby Fulton.
Hey, you forget about May 22nd. Like I said, you all three of you get in the ring, because we're going to kick your ass. Hey.
You want to do it for the belts? Come on, we'll do it for the belts.
Hey, let me tell you something, Maya. I'm not ready to wrestle, but we'll do it for the belts. Come on.
Commissioner, what about...
Hey, this match is already signed for the 22nd, but listen.
We're doing it, bro.
Hey, if all four of them want to do it, then let them do it. But I'll tell you this, it's not officially signed, and Smoky Mountain Wrestling is not responsible for this match.
All right, fans, you heard them, and they're going to get it on right now. Let's go to the ring.
Okay, Doc, there's a lot to unwrap here.
A ton.
Go ahead. I'll let you get started.
Well, first of all, Corny is vicious, because when they cut to him, he's already jawing and making motions at people in the crowd. So when Bob Caudle's like setting it up, he's already into it. And how I'm going to open this up, but how rare was it for Corny to kind of pull back the curtain on a baby face like that and say they're from Chillicothe, Ohio?
Boy, did he. I mean, that was like the big takeaway I took from it. Besides him like killing his mama with the 30 minutes to kill and 10 bucks to spend and, you know, could keep her company.
Yeah, well, later he calls Bobby Fulton's the Fulton's mama $10 whore, which is, you know,
that's pretty,
in and of itself.
Pretty bad back then. But yeah, like, I mean, he says the Fantastics are from the cities of Angels. They're from Ohio. And then he rips their family and their father. And my immediate thought was, God damn, back then, I just don't remember like that being a thing where you're like, fuck that, I'm breaking kayfabe, but we're going to tell these people.
What if somebody came out of here and goes, how am I supposed to – you think I'm going to lose to Kerry Von Erich? This motherfucker's only got one foot.
Right. I guess it was almost equivalent to that in a sense. But even beyond that – but I guess, like, to me, we talk about blending reality and, you know, suspending the disbelief of it all. I guess that kind of does it all, because – in a nutshell, if you like the Fantastics and they're the baby faces, you're like, man, fuck you, Cornette. That's not right. Not only did you say where they're from, but he dug in further with the mom and dad, with the dad being a drunk and basically calling the mama a whore.
Here's the thing. You had everything you needed for the good storyline, because you got the two best tag teams going for the strap. Mm-hmm. But this is Southern wrestling. And what do we like about Southern wrestling is you can never have too much heat. And so we took what was already a sufficient angle and we poured some gasoline on it and we dropped a match on it, which is perfect for Southern wrestling, because now we've got ourselves a personal issue. Because if somebody says that your mom is a $10 whore and your dad's a down face down drunk and you ain't ready to fight, then I don't know what's going on. So that's, you know.
Another thing, too, that you saw there, the only reason we always talk about the problems at WWE now where these guys sit there and jaw jack for 10 minutes at a time, right?
Let's get this shit in the ring. Let's settle this motherfucker right now.
Right, and the only reason they're not mixing it up when you watch it is Bullet Bob is in the middle of it, and he's pretty jacked for an old dude at that time. I mean, he's still jacked today. And then you got Bob Caudle, who's kind of in the middle of it too, kind of keeping him separated. But there are a couple times where they lunge at each other, and they're about to get after it. There's none of that.
And Corny's genius at, like, powdering back behind and looking like he's scrambling for his life, and then he scrambles forward to grab the mic to deliver his next line about the Fulton's mom. That was, I mean.
Yeah, it doesn't get better than that from Corny. But that's the chicken shit heel. That's what you did back then. And you should do it. And it would work now. I've seen Paul Heyman do it. I've seen Heyman do it when Undertaker was about to rip his fucking head off one night on Raw maybe about a year ago.
Well, there's two points there. It would still work, and it's what you do, but we're also watching perhaps the best guy ever at it do it in Corny, which is a sight to behold in and of itself as well.
True, but it's what he did is, I mean, he's great at it, but what he did is not a hard concept to understand. You're a heel, you're a chicken shit.
The funny part about all of this is it looked like, I'm going to speculate a little bit, but I think the idea is nobody knew that Stan Lane was coming with a dead pelt attached to his head, a dead beaver pelt attached to his head. So it almost feels like Corny took one look at him and said, fuck, I've got to draw attention away from this thing, so I'm going to go out and get the biggest set of heat I can think of to get, and this ensued. So it's going to lead to something else, and we can segue into this because it's the natural segue. We're not waiting for the ball. Everything's been going to the slam when we're going to award all the belts. Brother, let me tell you something. We're about to crown some Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions.
We are, and that's where we go to the match. So after the segment, immediately the Heavenly Bodies head to the ring. The Fantastics, the Fultons are in there. Here it is. This is what's going to happen. The match gets started, and Dutch says, is this a championship match? Bob Caudle says, yes, it's a championship match. Bullet Bob, if you recall, though, said this is not sanctioned by all four. It's not sanctioned by Smoky Mountain, but all four agreed to it, so the titles are on the line. Caudle.
Oh, wait. We didn't unpack this part, too, and you're about to say it. We've got baby faces out there cursing on local regional television in the South in the early 90s. So Bobby Fulton, I mean, he's playing his part to the hilt. You just said, what about my mama? I'm going to kick your ass.
It's none of this. We're going to stand there and jibber jab for a little while when you just call my mama a fucking slut and whore. Fuck you. I'm whipping your ass because that's what anybody would do who loves their mom. Yeah, I totally agree. Now, again, the match got started. Dutch did say, is this a championship match? Bob Caudle says, yes, it's a match, championship match. But Bullet Bob said it's not sanctioned, but all four did agree, so the titles are on the line. So it was a little confusing, but to clarify for everyone, the titles are on the line, just so everyone knows. They didn't deliver that message clearly, but they are on the line. Bob Caudle then gets into defense mode, but he starts apologizing for Cornette's comments in a promo a minute ago and says that Smoky Mountain does not stand by what he said. This is a sign of things to come because this will happen with the gangsters, although a little bit differently. Dutch says that he sees nothing wrong with what Jimmy Cornette said. They then take a mid-match commercial break, which kind of surprised me. You know what I'm saying, Doc? I don't remember. And maybe I'm just getting old and I just don't remember that happening back then where they take mid-match breaks.
We crucified WWE for doing this today. So I did not like this. And if you want to talk about small, this is going to be one of the few detractions of government cheese later on. I had to take a nibble out of the cheese I'm going to give this this episode for this little breakaway.
Yeah, it was really weird that they did the commercial break. So I'll cover what they did during the commercial break after the match because it was a promo from Bob Caudle. But the match then continues when they come back from commercial. It's a small crowd, but the fans are into it. Typical tag match throughout. Bobby Fulton.
Bro, this is Smoky Mountain. They're kind of all small crowds.
Yeah, that's true. Bobby Fulton is the one taking. I probably should stop saying that. I'm saying small crowd I'm saying small crowd by definition of Smoky Mountain because I felt like some of these recent ones, there were pretty good houses. This one seemed a little smaller, but maybe it's just the angle that it's being shot from. Bobby Fulton is the one taking the heat in the match. Eventually, he gets the hot tag on to Jackie Fulton, where he comes in and starts clearing house. And Jackie's just fucking just burying people when he comes in. As with many tag matches, it gets chaotic because that was how it worked. Bobby Fulton and Dr. Tom are fighting, and they're tied up. The referee is attempting to break up Bobby and Dr. Tom. Meanwhile, behind the ref, Jackie puts the sleeper on Stan Lane. With the referee's back turned to Stan Lane and Jackie, Cornette slides into the ring, and he fucking clocks Jackie in the back with the tennis racket. I mean, nice little sound came off from it. Jackie goes down. Stan Lane gets on top of him, and we get the Heavenly Bodies winning the tag team titles. But it doesn't end here. Cornette gets the belts from the referee as the announcer says, we have new Smoky Mountain Wrestling tag team champions. Bobby Fulton has now fought his way into the ring as the ring announcer is saying that. He grabs Cornette. Bobby Fulton throws one of the greatest punches I've probably ever seen. Cornette takes a beautiful bump from it.
Beautiful.
I'll stop there in case you want to say anything before I mention the rest of it.
No, it was a beautiful bump. Cornette went flying.
Beautiful. The punch, the sell of it from Cornette, just phenomenal. But Stan Lane, after that happens, gets a hold of the tennis racket, and then he nails Bobby Fulton. Then Stan Lane nails Jackie Fulton. Stan then puts Jackie in a figure four. Meanwhile, Cornette is laying it into Bobby, who's just laid out. And I think he's got his leg caught up in the ropes. Finally, typical territory fashion, Robert Gibson and Dixie Dynamite come out to where to make the save, and we go to commercial. Doc, I'll let you give your commentary on the match as the Heavenly Bodies become the first tag team champions of Smoky Mountain Wrestling against the Fantastic / Fultons in 9 minutes and 55 seconds.
The right team won. I don't know why we moved this up. I mean, I guess that's one of the things we can try to find out later on, but you know, why did it not happen at the Slam? Jackie was moving, you know, so Jackie's legs hurt, and we're going to get into that later in the episode here. But I don't get why he was moving around finding the match. I don't understand what the decision was from the back to move this up a week or so to go ahead and award the titles. Great match. They put some heat on this thing. It will continue into a feud now. And we now have our first champions, official champions in the territory.
We do. Very, very good. Very good build all the way up. Got our first champions. You know, I can't remember if the Volunteer Slam, which we'll cover in a few weeks, has a tag match in it. I believe it did for the tag titles.
They defend against the Rich Brothers, I believe.
Okay, so there you go. But it does make you wonder if Jackie Fulton did legitimately have some type of injury that he was going to be out for, or was it
maybe he had a trip to Japan?
I was about to say that. Or was that the case where he had some other bookings that he had obligations to fulfill? And I'm guessing we'll find out from Cornette at some point in time. So, which would be good to know. But I'm just curious about that as well. Now, here's the thing. I'm not burying it. I loved it. I love the fact that they spontaneously moved it up. And you know, back then you didn't have Twitter and you'd have Facebook and you'd have social media. So while that took place in that gymnasium that day, people didn't know until they tuned in and watched on TV.
Yep.
That the surprise occurred. So anyway.
Good.
All right. We go to – now this promo that I'm about to mention, this actually happened in the middle of this match. So it's not quite chronologically. But it's Bob Caudle promoting the Beckley West Virginia show, and Primetime Brian Lee and Bullet Bob come out to promote the match against the Dirty White Boy. At Beckley West Virginia, Bullet Bob will be the special referee, and we'll call it down the middle, as he says. So nothing, my notes here were, nothing. It wasn't bad. It was just a promo trying to talk people into the building in Beckley. Is that kind of what you thought as well, Doc?
Yes. Meh.
That's what I thought too. We then go to Doug Furness, who's making his Smoky Mountain Wrestling debut. Bob asks Doug, how is Jackie Fulton in the back as they sell the leg injury from the figure four in the previous match? Bob welcomes Doug to the promotion. Now, Doug does say he has no idea what's going on with Jackie's leg, but he does say that it does not look good, so they're selling that injury angle, if indeed it is an angle or he was legitimately hurt, which we don't know. Doug says he's looking forward to doing some wrestling in Smoky Mountain. Doug's been in Japan and Mexico, but he loves being in Smoky Mountain. Daka, your thoughts on Doug Furniss's first promo and first appearance in Smoky Mountain Wrestling thus far?
Well, the promo's not good.
It wasn't bad.
It's not good.
Again,
Morton and Smothers are your babyface promos, and so everybody else is kind of struggling until until then. Okay. I mean, he's a new guy. We got a new talent into the promotion. That's good. And we should probably go to the ring and see if he can out-wrestle his promos.
We are. I will agree with this one thing. From when you really look at the promos at this point in time, the heels are nailing it and knocking it out of the park for the most part when it comes to promos. And the baby faces are just meh. And it doesn't help when Tim Horner's cutting promos. It's like if you take that away, you may not be as down on it. Just my opinion. I could be wrong. However, it's just kind of what I'm thinking. But I agree with you. We need Morton and Smothers to come into territory. We go to Doug Furniss's first match where he is now facing off against Joe Kazana. We've seen Joe Kazana a bunch of times on Smoky Mountain Wrestling TV. And Doug Furniss is he's a good looking guy, good looking talent. He was definitely built during that time, but to me, he wasn't overly built and excessive like some of the talents you saw, if that makes any sense. Would you agree or disagree, Doc?
Yeah, he's obviously strong. I'm probably going to talk about that as we go through the match, some of the feats of strength he has, but he's built.
Right. He's a built guy. He's solid. Again, he's not the typical bodybuilder guy that the WWE also wanted at that point in time, but he definitely is very built. He did three things in a match that were incredible to me. One, he overhead presses Joe Kazana without much help from Kazana, in my opinion. He also hits Kazana with probably a better drop kick than I've ever seen, even the one Jimmy Golden throws at his height. He gets a lot of airtime on that drop kick. And then the last thing, he hits him with a standing Hurricanrana as Kazana's coming off the ropes. With Doug Furniss's size, when he does that, the air that he gets is just very impressive. Let me get your thoughts, Doc, on Doug Furniss's Smoky Mountain Wrestling debut.
Good debut. You know, we like to do a little bit of backstory on guys. Furniss, obviously, as he said in his promo, had been to Mexico and Japan. He also fought in WCW. He was later in ECW.
Yeah.
He had wrestled in Continental around that area before, so he wasn't a stranger to the area by far. I also think he may have gone to the University of Tennessee, but I may be wrong about that. That might be his brother. At the time of his debut here, Doug Furniss is 32 years old. Doug also is no longer with us. Doug died at the age of 52 of heart disease and had apparently been battling Parkinson's disease leading up to his death. So rest in peace, Doug Furniss.
Yeah, if you've ever heard the Patriot Del Wilkes, he talks very glowingly about Doug Furniss and working with him in Japan and how he said he was a good guy and whatnot. So, yeah, man, I like Doug Furniss's debut. We'll see what happens with him going forward in Smoky Mountain. One other thing before we move to the next segment is I loved when Bob Cottle didn't even know the name of the move. He just said, "That's a tremendous move," when he did the Hurricanrana, the standing one.
They should have done an angle at some point where Bob Cottle turns heel because everybody's trying to take wrestling away from the way it used to be and the way you like it and do all these newfangled moves.
Yeah, I agree. We then go to a Hector Guerrero promo. Hector is back. No neck brace. He's holding. It's not around his neck. It seems like a quick recovery to me, but whatever. Hector says he's glad to be back. Bullet Bob says as long as he's commissioner, the pile driver will be illegal. Mr. Wonderful has had enough of this shit and comes out. Mr. Wonderful says he's beaten every man in America with that move. Then Mr. Wonderful says, if you ain't man enough to take it, you shouldn't be in this business. And brother, I think he might have been shooting. I'm just saying. So, yeah, you should not be in this business. And then we get Tim fucking Horner. Horner runs out and says, ain't nothing wrong with my neck. Hey, if you want to jump on something unhealthy, jump on me. Mr. Wonderful tells him, let me tell you something, boy. There's going to be something wrong with your neck on May 22nd because you're going to be mine. Doc, I'll stop because this is the first time I remember them building or trying to build some heat with Horner and Orndorff since they seeded the tournament.
Yeah, they're heading into the slam, and they're trying to get that personal issue built up. My note was, fuck me if I'm ever, if my life is ever bad enough that I need Tim Horner to step in and vouch for me.
Horner, we don't hate you. We just think your promos were very much lacking if you're ever listening to this. Again, Tim Horner, let me repeat. I think you're probably a good person. Who knows? But your promos, they left a lot to be desired. Also, if you ever want to see the shining example of how to not have a mullet, it would be Tim Horner.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that, I never noticed this up until now. He's got a crew cut type cut all over the rest of his head, but the mullet is the only thing long and straight. It almost looks like a rat tail and not a mullet. Like, it needed to be faded into the rest of his head a little bit more. And I'm no mullet expert, but that just was my take on it. Like, his mullet was no Ricky Morton mullet. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no.
Okay. We go to Bob Caudle, who is telling us in 2 weeks there will be a Mountain Mayhem Battle Royal for $5,000. The rules of this, you know, it's a short segment. It sounds a little like what we now know to be the Royal Rumble, except with less participants. Is that the take that you took on it, or did I misunderstand?
I got the same thing. Here's the thing. This is going to sound weird. I like battle royals for some silly, stupid reason. I know
you need to be taken out back and shot for that comment.
I know, and I know the boys don't really like them, or that it's considered a night off. Did in your days as menace, did you ever work some battle royals?
I worked a bunch of them, and I can tell you every single time the promoter would always say, "If you're not the person going over in a battle royal, I don't want everybody to jump out all at once," because that's how the boys always looked at it. Nobody, it's like you already worked your match generally, or you were working, especially on an independent level, you were working at some point either earlier in the night or at some point in the night. And it's like, why in the fuck do I want to be in a battle royal at this point?
Yeah. I don't know. There's some strange fascination I always had with them as a kid, and it kind of holds. But I get what the boys think about it. So, anyway.
Well, and here's the other part, too. A Royal Rumble type battle royal is a bit different than a typical battle royal where
sure.
10 guys, 20 guys are in a ring and start fighting. Because you have
cluster fucking.
Right. You have a staggered approach with a Royal Rumble where it can look more like a match. Like, I'll tell you honestly, I'm always a fan of, you know, I'm down on the WWE product, but I'm a fan of when they do the Royal Rumble. I think it's an entertaining match. They bring back legends sometimes. You know they're not going to win, but they get some pops. And the way it's structured is you're not just a bunch of they actually do spots in there. There's some pretty entertaining stuff in it. So
yeah. I get it.
All right.
Good.
We go to the next match, which is the Dirty White Boy against Ben Jordan. I don't know if we've seen Ben Jordan in a while. Maybe we have, but
I think we've seen him a couple of times.
You know what? Yeah, because he was one of the guys that Paul Orndorff spiked on his head too recently.
Yeah.
Dirty White Boy comes out without Ron Wright, which was a little shocking. And then we got this gem from Bob Caudle. Bob Caudle says he's in a nursing home resting up. Dirty White Boy seems to have... Stop. I'm popping myself here. Let me stop, Doc. Did you catch that? And what did you
think? Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen Ron in a while, and we're missing him. I mean, the promotion is strong, but it's always, always better when you see Ron Wright on an episode.
Oh, boy, he's in a nursing home. Okay, if that's what you say. Dirty White Boy has control pretty much the match. I mean, it's a jobber match. Dutch gives a small zinger on commentary when he talks about the training the Dirty White Boy has been doing in the back alleys and fighting dogs. Now, Dutch clarifies that the Dirty White Boy hasn't been, like, taking two dogs and fighting them against each other, but actually that the Dirty White Boy has actually been fighting dogs, like Dirty White Boy versus a dog. Not two dogs versus dogs, but the Dirty White Boy versus a dog.
Right.
Just to clarify, when we talk about fighting dogs there. And we did get that zinger from Dirty, not Dirty White Boy, but Bob Caudle. Ron Wright a couple weeks ago when he told us the Dirty White Boy bit the dog and gave the dog the rabies. So Dirty White Boy finishes off Ben Jordan rather quickly with his finisher, the Buck Snort Blaster.
One thing here in this match that I thought was interesting was because it was short, it was sweet, and very one-sided, but they did a good job of building Ben Jordan up as a guy who's held titles elsewhere. I don't know if he had or hadn't. That's really irrelevant. But it did give him a little bit of legitimacy in the fact that Dirty White Boy was squashing the shit out of him.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Still a quick match. Dirty White Boy gets the pin with his finisher, the Bucksnort Blaster. We go to a Dixie Dynamite promo, which is next. I like that Dixie called his fans the Little Firecrackers. And then he tells Dirty White Boy and Rotten Ron Wright, as he says, that they'll get theirs at the Volunteer Slam. Now, recall that it's Dixie Dynamite versus Dirty White Boy in the first round. And pretty much that Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy have lit a fuse of Dixie Dynamite, and that's why they're going to get theirs. Dixie Dynamite closes out, and he says, he's American by birth and Southern by the grace of God. As Dixie walks off the set, Dutch Mantell, who's sitting at the desk with Bob Cottle, while Bob Cottle is conducting the promo, gives Dixie the what the fuck look. Like, Bob, Dutch Mantell is what I'm saying, gives Dixie this look like, what the fuck did you just say? I swear I've heard that term a bunch of times. American by birth, Southern by the grace of God. Have you never heard that in Texas?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I mean, yeah.
Any thoughts on this promo before we move to
I was watching this, and I came to the conclusion that Dixie Dynamite looks like a hillbilly. He acts and looks like a hillbilly version of Shane Helms doing Hurricane.
Oh. And that's no shade on Shane Helms.
Shane Helms is awesome. I love Shane Helms. I love listening to him on podcast. The Hurricane was one of my favorite gimmicks that WWE's done in the past 15 or 20 years. That dude is fantastic, and I think Dixie Dynamite looks like some, I mean, and I know he did it first, but he looks like a poor Southern United States ripoff part of the Hurricane.
Maybe so, but you gotta wonder about it. But anyway, we'll go to the next segment. We got Bob Cottle. They continue to sell Jackie Fulton's knee injury, and Bob tells us he's on his way to the hospital. That Jackie is, and as soon as they know what's going on, they'll update the crowd and everyone out there in TV land. Bob Cottle goes over the opening round matches for the Slam again, which, to repeat, is Gibson versus Golden, Orndorff versus Horner, Landell versus Primetime Brian Lee, and Dixie Dynamite versus the Dirty White Boy. We got a Primetime Brian Lee promo, and Primetime Brian Lee then says, Buddy Landell, I'll be there, 6'8", 280 pounds in your face all night, the Volunteer Slam, Primetime is coming. Doc, any thoughts? It was a quick promo, but...
Even in the quick promo, he still found time to sway through the whole thing, which makes him look nervous with his delivery. And put in a just world and in a fair world, Buddy Landell beats Primetime Brian Lee.
Yeah, okay. I agree. All right, so then Buddy Landell is out there, and he is fighting Nitro Danny Davis. We get started, and I think Bob Cottle might have taken a shot of whiskey before the match, because Bob talks about Nitro Danny Davis continuing his upset streak. Dutch scoffs at this shit and wants to know who he's beat besides the Koloffs.
Good point.
Dutch rattles off a bunch of names that Nitro hasn't fought or beat, and Bob drops the topic of discussion rather quickly, because Nitro Danny Davis, I don't think he's beaten anyone. At that point, I think there was a singles match.
One, I think, and I can't remember who it was. But
it was like episode 3 or 4 when they were in the saddest place on earth with the lighting completely turned on. And it was a jobber match that he won. Other than that, besides the tag match, I don't know if he's really done much else. And that's no shade on Nitro Danny Davis. It's more or less us pumping Dutch up for, you know, scoffing at Bob Cottle. But yep. Who knows? Bob Cottle may have been fed those lines and whatever. At some point, they return back to Nitro Danny Davis fighting the Heavenly Bodies, and Dutch says, oh, yeah, that's right. The Heavenly Bodies beat the soup out of him. Doc, I didn't get that reference.
I don't follow either.
I mean, is he saying they beat him so bad he started throwing up? I don't get it.
I can't help you with that one.
Okay. Now, then the other part, this was a very uneventful match to me. The reason I say that, I don't remember really much of anything. It was very weird, just quick finish, hard to describe it. Landell gets the tights on Davis, and Davis, you know, to get the win. Did you take anything else from that match besides the fact that there was a little bit of comedy in the commentary?
I got one little thing. Is it just me, or does Danny Davis remind you of a smaller Ronnie Garvin?
With the bleached hair, yes.
And he does the rear back on the right hand punch, kind of like Ronnie Garvin does, and just.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not. I mean, I'm not saying it's perfect. It's just that was it reminded me of that while I was watching the match. So, but yeah, it was pretty uneventful. You had to get Buddy established as a guy who was a threat going into the slam.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I can agree with what you're saying about him being the looking like a smaller Ronnie Garvin. However, Danny Davis is the much better worker of the two of them. Nitro Danny Davis is actually a very, very good professional wrestler. I think he cuts a decent promo. He's just a small guy. I mean, look at all the people he's trained, too. That's the other part of it.
He's so small.
All right, you can imagine Vince repeating that repeatedly. After the match, Buddy Landell is cutting a promo at the debate desk with Bob Cottle. Landell tells primetime Brian Lee he doesn't care how big he is, and if he's got to cut him, he will at the Volunteer Slam. Landell then tells us how he can beat up Orndorff too, as he looks around to see if Orndorff is around. He even says, "Is he here?" And he looking like he's almost spooked, like he just like he's spooked and paranoid. Landell then says, "May 22nd, primetime Brian Lee, you're mine, boy." Landell's closing line is when he tells primetime Brian Lee that primetime Brian Lee would rather walk through hell with gasoline drawers on than deal with him. Any thoughts on Landell promo, Doc?
Yeah. First of all, I love Buddy. I got a soft spot in my heart for Buddy Landell.
Me too.
He also says, "I'm going to rip off your head and dump in your neck." And then he says, Stan Lane, Tom Pritchard, Rip Rogers. He's talking about how he can beat them. None of those guys are in the tournament he's about to be in. And he finishes with, "I'm not discriminate about who I beat up." So I'm a buddy is just great. We're going to talk about it probably ad nauseum. We already have about how the guy didn't need to do the Nature Boy gimmick to have something. He had charisma. He could wrestle. He could talk. Yeah, to me, it was unfortunate that he got saddled with that when he did and lived somewhat in the shadow of Ric Flair, because that's a pretty tall shadow to be under. But Landell was kind of he talks shit, chicken shit heel. He's just he cracks me up on these interviews, on these promos, and he's really good at it.
Yeah, he started listing a bunch of names that it's like, wait, why are you bringing these people up? But we got to remember too. This is possibly happening. Well, no, I would say it's happening before they really have everything set up, but he just was out there cutting a promo. Cornette probably told him, and just go out there and say a couple things about
I don't care. I was thoroughly entertained. So what?
It was great. I mean, the entertainment value of it was spectacular.
Because when he said, "I can beat Orndorff. Is he here?"
Yeah, exactly. So that goes to
show
you.
It's the little things.
Right. After Landell's promo, they cut, and it's Bob Cottle who's continuing to push the Beckley, West Virginia card. The Heavenly Bodies cut their promo their first promo with the tag team belts. So this is them actually, the match has happened, they've won the belts, and Cornette is about to talk about slapping around the Batten Twins. Doc, would you like me? I actually got it queued up. You want to listen to it live on the go, or
hit it?
How you want to do this? Okay, let's do that.
A Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team title match with Oak Hill's own Batten Twins against these guys, the Heavenly Bodies.
Let me ask you, did I hear you say all kids in for four cents in Beckley?
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's good. That's good. 4 cents, that's about what they're worth. Bring them on down there. It's cheaper than hiring somebody to sit home and watch them and slide them a fresh plate of dog food every now and then. Bring them on down there for 4 cents. And let them see what people from Oak Hill, what people from Beckley really look like, the Batten Twins, when they get slapped around by the Heavenly Bodies, the new Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, just the same thing they did to the Fantastics. That's what's going to happen to Oak Hill's pride and joy, Bart and Brad Batten. Right, boys?
You know what? The only thing that makes me madder than coming to Beckley, West Virginia, is the fact that all those snotty-faced little punk kids under 12 will get in for just 4 cents. They ought to be paying $40 to see the Heavenly Bodies, right, Tom?
You see, the fact of the matter is, Stan, we didn't become the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champions by being nice guys or hometown favorites. We did it by stepping in the ring, and we did it by beating people up. So you see, if you want to bring a couple of guys like the Batten Twins who are from Beckley, West Virginia, it doesn't matter to us because you're looking at the greatest tag team champions that come to Smoky Mountain Wrestling yet, and we got the belts to prove it, boys. So in Beckley, West Virginia, Batten Twins, lace them up good.
So that was rather interesting, wouldn't you say?
Well, I'm glad we listened to that here, because It's a much better promo than I gave it credit for the first time, because my notes on the first time was just all centered around what the hell's wrong with Stan Lane's head? Why did he do this?
And there's a distraction.
It's a complete distraction if you're following it. I mean, if you're really watching, it's a complete distraction, because when I listen to you play the promo, I was like, man, that's all three of them did a great job again. It's really good. I had no notes on the content of the promo when I watched it the first time visually. Not one thing that they said stood out to me. It was my exact notes for that promo by watching it was, what the fuck was Stan Lane thinking? It looks like he has a dead animal pelt on his head. End of notes. But I listened to it just then when you played it, and I was like, good promo. Once again, all three of them got it in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Cornette's talking about slapping around the Batten twins at Beckley. And then, you know, Stan Lane makes fun of the 4 cents per entry per kid. Cornette said, you know, it's cheaper than hiring a babysitter that slides him a plate of dog food.
And I didn't catch any of that the first time, because all I could think about was that just nonsense on Stan Lane's head.
I couldn't get past it either. But then, like, the other part, too, is he's got these 1990-style Ray-Ban sunglasses on with his newfound beaver pelt on his head. It was hard to get past. But at the end of the day, it's a great promo, but when you're looking at it visually, it is hard to get past Stan Lane's head.
It is.
We will admit to that fact. Okay, so then we get we wrap it. You got anything else from that promo?
Nah, that was it.
Okay, so you know what? I can actually I'm right on here with the next one. So let's cue that one up too, and we'll play that one. This is Bullet Bob, and he is addressing Jackie Fulton's injury.
Now I've offered Bobby Fulton more partners, but he doesn't want any partner but his brother, and I can certainly understand that, since all four of those men volunteered to go in a non-sanctioned match. I have to declare here and now that the Heavenly Bodies are the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions.
Okay, and here is Bobby Fulton. Bobby?
I want to tell you something right now. Listen, I'm getting ready to take my brother to the hospital, brother, but you can count us down right now, but not out. I've got one thing to say right now. We're coming back after Cornette's Heavenly Bodies, and when we get back, I guarantee one thing right now for certain. You know, Bob, you said Tim Horner's wanted to be my partner. Robert Gibson's wanted to be my partner. But hey, they're not my brother. They're not my partner. I'm going to stand out and wait. But Cornette and Heavenly Bodies, when we get back, you can be rest assured one thing. You're going to see one hell of a fight.
All right. So, that wraps up this week's episode of our
Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead. I wasn't about to send it home. Go ahead.
All right. So you remember way back. Episodes 1, 2, 3, and 4, the pilot episodes, and we were saying, look, if you're kind of wondering where's all the heat, where's all the Southern craziness, where's all the rumors you hear about Smoky Mountain Wrestling, because they got to get started. They got to get these angles going. They got to get everything, you know, advanced. We're getting here now. This is it. We're getting injuries. We're getting personal issues. We're getting titles involved. And that helps the performers cut some impassioned promos with some personal issues, get into some real heat, and now we're about to go wrestling.
We've arrived. I mean, just to look at this episode, you know, here we are. I mean, we're about 50 minutes into it at this point, and we are into, you know, this is probably going to be one of our longer episodes of Smoky Mountain Wrestling that we've talked about, but it doesn't feel like it because there was so much good stuff in it from the angles. Yeah. You know, you got that Cornette promo at the beginning with the Heavenly Bodies and, you know, calling, basically breaking character and talking about where the Fultons are from in Ohio and Chillicothe, Ohio. I think that's how you say it. And then you had the tag team titles on the line, which we did not expect that going into it. We had a Doug Furness interview as he surprised us coming into the territory. We had Hector Guerrero, and then, you know, as much as I give Tim Horner hell, I still laugh and I chuckle, but Mr. Wonderful is a hell of a promo. We got Bob Cottle announcing the Royal Rumble type match or the Mountain Mayhem Battle Royal. So, I mean, there's just a lot happening. And then we get the promo at the end with Cornette and them with the belts for the first time. It's just a solid episode, which leads me into, let's hand out some disability checks. Where are you at, Doc?
I'm going to give this 6.9 checks, which I do believe may be my highest amount of disability checks yet. I think just there may be some other episodes, and some of the tag team tournament with the Wild Bunch and all that was really enjoyable, and I liked those episodes. But man, we're starting to get some personal issues involved with this, and so that, you know, we always talk about what that does for the ability to draw heat and to be entertaining. So I think I'm gonna give that a 6.9 this week.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna give it 8, and it's basically because everything I listed a second ago. Those Cornette, that Cornette promo with the Fultons, that was incredible to me. Personal issues develop. You had a good match. That fucking punch that Bobby Fulton threw on Cornette when he took that bump was phenomenal, beautiful. Hard to explain it without someone seeing it. And then in the end, we had a nice promo with Cornette and Heavenly Bodies, even though, you know, Stan Lane's beaver pellet may have took away from it a little. When you're watching it, if you just close your eyes and listen, you'll probably enjoy it a little bit more. But anyway, I really liked it. This is a good episode, so I'll give it 8 checks. Just a solid episode, and we're looking forward to next week. Now, next week we'll get into things, but I believe it's I think next week's another recap episode. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, again, if this is your first time listening, please subscribe to us however you get your podcasts, whether it's iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher. And I'm going to beg for some 5-star reviews on iTunes. Those 5-star reviews, along with comments as to why it's a 5-star review, really, really help the show. So please do us a favor, write us some 5-star reviews. We'd greatly appreciate it. Also, another thing if you could do, a lot of times the review, there's a little box that says yes or no if the reviews that are already on there are helpful. Please go back and check yes next to all of those 5-star reviews. That does help as well. When it comes to social media, follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I am at Mike504Saint. Doc Turner doesn't do Twitter. He forgot his password, so he can't figure out how to get back into Twitter. And I need a shout out, DenimFritz605 on Twitter, at Mullet of Morton, at Fake Stan Lane, at Godbold Unreal, at James E. Barnett _, at Holy Moly Oli, at Mike Skills Tim, and at the Eye of Gibson. If I missed you, send me a tweet. Those are the, those are the parody accounts. There are plenty of more people who actually listen to us, but those are the parody accounts that I like to shout out sometimes. Like Casey James, Martin Howell, Big Dog Grayson. I know you guys always listen, so shout out to you as well. But I wanted to mention the parody accounts since those are the funny guys. Also, the last thing before we throw it over to the promos of the week, please support the show. Whether it's Amazon, our referral link, whether it's PayPal, if you're if you got tons of money you want to donate, great. If you got a dollar, please do so. Or whether it's our Pro Wrestling Tee store, please support the show that way. They're all at the top of the page at mikemills.podbean.com. So if you just go to mikemills.podbean.com, there's an Amazon referral link. Remember, with Amazon, whatever you buy when you use that link, we get a little bit in return from Amazon. It's not much, but it helps out. PayPal, I already said PayPal is just a donation, but with Amazon, it helps out the show because you're not spending any extra money, yet we're getting a little bit in return. So you're already spending money. Use the link. That way we'll get a little bit and we can help, it helps us with producing the show. And then check out our Pro Wrestling Tee store, the very stylish Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast t-shirt that is up. I've gotten a lot of great feedback from everyone who's bought one, and we appreciate you checking that out. I'm trying to think if I've missed anything. Facebook. Check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. The reason I mentioned that page is because I constantly post some old Pro Wrestling Illustrated cover photos, which are really cool. And then Martin Howell on Facebook has been sending me these clips of Smoky Mountain that I'm going to start posting as we get closer and we reveal some of these results. But he sent me a few things, and it's some really cool stuff. So I plan on using those on the Facebook page soon. Doc, do you have anything before I throw it over to the promos of the week that we have not listened to at this point?
No, I'm tuckered out from talking all about this great wrestling. I'm going to go take a nap.
Tuckered out. Yes, sir. So from Mike and Doc, before we throw it over to the promos of this week, we appreciate you checking out this week's episode of the show. You know what we always say when we get out of here? Book it, bitch.
I'm here to see people. Fans, the big night, the big event, Knoxville, Tennessee, on Friday, May 22nd, the Volunteer Slam. Three guys right here that are going to have a lot of say about it. Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Body.
Right there. You see right there? That's right, darling. You want them. That's why you came here tonight. You want both of them. Let me tell you something. I'm getting so sick and tired of hearing everybody say the Heavenly Bodies shouldn't be the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champions. The Heavenly Bodies don't represent those belts well. The Heavenly Bodies aren't good guys to be wearing titles. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know where you get this impression, get this picture, that the Fantastics are a bunch of white knights in shining armor, but I got a little different picture to paint for you. Because, see, I've known Bobby Fulton for a long time. Since 1984, I've hated his guts every stinking second of it. And now his brothers come along. They say they're from the City of the Angels. They ain't from the City of the Angels, brother. They're from Chillicothe, Ohio. That's exactly right. They're from Chillicothe, Ohio, and I've been there, and I've asked about the Fantastics or the Fulton brothers around town. You know what I found out? The whole Fulton family's a bunch of stinking trash. Their father's never worked a day in his life. He's a bum laying on a street corner with a whiskey bottle in his back pocket, begging for whatever penny he's got. But don't worry, because while he's out drunk, his mother, idiot. Hey,
wait a minute, Bobby, here comes the Fulton. Wait a minute.
Hey, I want to tell you something right now, Cornette. I never let a man talk about our mama like that, and I never considered you a man. If your boys got the guts, get in the ring right now. We're going to kick their ass all over the building. That's right.
Come here. I'll tell you something else about your mama.
Whoa, wait a minute. Hey, Commissioner Bob Arm.
I'll tell you something else about your mama. She never was lonesome while your dad was out drunk, because anybody with 30 minutes to kill and 10 bucks to spend could keep her company.
Hey, Bobby Fulton.
Hey, you forget about May 22nd. Like I said, you all three of you get in the ring, because we're going to kick your ass. Hey.
You want to do it for the belts? Come on, we'll do it for the belts.
Hey, let me tell you something, Maya. I'm not ready to wrestle, but we'll do it for the belts. Come on.
Commissioner, what about...
Hey, this match is already signed for the 22nd, but listen.
We're doing it, bro.
Hey, if all four of them want to do it, then let them do it. But I'll tell you this, it's not officially signed, and Smoky Mountain Wrestling is not responsible for this match.
All right, fans, you heard them, and they're going to get it on right now. Let's go to the ring.
Fans, back to Smoky Mountain Wrestling in the heart of West Virginia in just a moment. First, these reminders. Wrestling will be in Beckley on Sunday afternoon, May 17th at 2 p.m. It's WOAY TV Channel 4 Day. All kids 12 and under, only 4 cents with a paid adult. That's at the Raleigh County Armory. Now, you'll see such stars as this. Dixie Dynamite will take on Dutch Mantell. Tim Horner will wrestle Nature Boy Buddy Landell. Robert Gibson against Jimmy Golden. Brian Lee will take on the Dirty White Boy, who will have in his corner Mr. Ron Wright. A special referee for that match is Bob Armstrong. 6 big matches in all, fans, on that card. Right now, let's bring in primetime Brian Lee and Bob Armstrong, the special referee for this match.
First of all, Bob, I want to thank Mr. Armstrong for agreeing to do this match with me. You know, Dirty White Boy, you're great at running up beside somebody and hitting them in the back with a chair, and your Ron Wright, so-called manager, is always handing something in there. So I went out to get a man to call it right down the middle, and he'll tell you about it.
Bob. You know, Bob, one thing about it, as commissioner, I have to call it right down the middle. I intend to do that. Now, I didn't go for Dirty White Boy running out and hitting this big man in the back with a 2x4 or whatever it was, but it didn't take the big man down. But then you've got to worry about Mr. Ron Wright, who's always sliding him this and handing him this, yeah, and an outside interference. So one thing about it, when I get to Beckley, West Virginia, I'm going to call this right down the middle. And, Brian, if you can beat the Dirty White Boy, more power to you. But if he beats you, I've got to count your shoulders out, too. I want you to understand that. I'm a fair referee. I've got the contract in my hand. I intend to sign it right now. I'll be there in Beckley. That's Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Hope everybody comes out. A lot of matches there. The last time I was there, Bob, I was a wrestler. This time I'm a professional referee. And as commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, I'm proud to be there to represent him. I'm going to call it right down the middle. Dirty White Boy, Mr. Wright, be on your best. Be on your toes, brother. And the same goes for you, Brian.
And you can bet I will.
Bob. All right, fans, that's going to be a great one. It's going to be in Beckley. That's Sunday the 17th, 2 p.m. Don't you miss it. We'll see you right there.
Fans here with us right now, Doug Furness. Doug, first of all, you were back in the dressing room. What about Jackie's leg?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but it didn't look very good.
No, and I think they really tried to hurt him. I think they really wanted to permanently injure him if possible. You know, that's the kind of guys they are.
That's one of the bad things about it, but it's professional wrestling, and it goes on. You just got to take it. And I think, he's got a couple of good buddies. They'll do something about it.
All right, and fans, as I mentioned, Doug Furness right here. Of course, one of the all-time greats, University of Tennessee. One of the strongest men in the world. I know that Doug holds a number of weightlifting records, world records, by the way, Doug. We're delighted to have you and an athlete like you here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Well, it's my pleasure. You know, it's been a while since I've got to wrestle in the States. I thank everybody for coming out. You know, it's going to be a pleasure. We're tied up in Japan for a while, but the people from Smoky Mountain Wrestling said that they were trying to get some top talent together, and I was just honored that they called, and I'm looking forward to be able to wrestle for the people here in the South and get back home a little more often.
Oh, yeah, and I know as a Tennessean, you're delighted to be back around the area, no doubt about it, because you're spending a lot of time, I believe, in Japan and in Mexico, right?
Yeah, we sure are. You know, the world's opening up for us. We're being really lucky.
Good luck to you here, Doug Furness, in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And again, fans, we're delighted to have this man with us. Right now, let's go back to the ring. All right, fans, and with us right now, here is our Smoky Mountain Commissioner, Mr. Bob Armstrong, Hector Guerrero. And Hector, first of all, let me say, I'm delighted. I know the fans are, too, to see you without that neck brace.
Not only that, I'm so ready and I'm happy, but most of all, my heart is ready. You know, Bob, I see that you are fighting a deal in outlawing the pile driver. Now, being a recipient of the pile driver, I know the dangerous effects that can happen. And one thing I do, I'm very grateful to God, first of all, who's my Father in heaven, that I came out of this ordeal right. But first of all, I'm also very happy that I'm getting ready, and I want my opportunity.
Okay, I want to prevent injuries like this. Yeah. I just left Jackie Fulton. His knee is about twice the normal size right now. Useless injury. I know your injury was useless. It was unnecessary. A match with Paul Orndorff. And the pile driver in the Smoky Mountain area is definitely illegal. It will not ever be illegalized as long as I'm the commissioner. It'll never be legalized. You can count on that, Hector.
Well, one thing for sure. Paul, this is getting a little bit more and more personal. You're taking food away from my table.
Here is Paul Orndorff.
Hey! You know, outlawing my pile driver is absurd. You know that I have beaten every name wrestler in the world with it. And I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're not man enough to take it, then you shouldn't be in here. That's what it all boils down to. What?
I want the match. I want the match with you.
Anytime. Let me tell you this. As soon as the doctor releases this man, he'll be ready for you.
Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with my neck. You want to jump on somebody healthy, jump on me.
Let me tell you something, boy. There's going to be something wrong with your next Horner on the 22nd because you're going to be mine.
Well, jump on, it,
come
then.
On, come on. That's it. That's it. We've had enough of that. There's been enough injuries. There's been enough. We can settle everything. Tim, thank you.
I'm with you. I know you can.
As long as I'm commissioner, the pile driver is illegal. Count on it.
All right, fans, we'll be back. We'll have more right after we take this timeout. Fans, in 2 weeks right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, you're going to see a very special event. An 18-man Mountain Mayhem Battle Royal with $5,000 to the winner. Now, the name of the participants are placed in a hat, and they are drawn at random. The first two names drawn enter the ring. They'll wrestle for 2 minutes. Then the third man drawn enters, and every 2 minutes, another wrestler will enter the ring. When a man is thrown over the top rope, he's eliminated. There are no disqualifications. The last man in the ring is the winner of $5,000. That match takes place in 2 weeks right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. All right, and right you are, Dutch, with me right now. Here he is, Dixie Dynamite, another man that is really looking forward to the 22nd in Knoxville in the Volunteer Slam.
That's exactly right. You know, Double D, Dixie Dynamite is the wild card in the Volunteer Slam. And I'll tell you something right now, brother. The Volunteer Slam, what everybody's talking about, all my little firecrackers talking about it, running every which way. But the bottom line is, Dirty White Boy, you and Rotten Ron, right? You gonna pay your dues because you done lit the fuse of this Southern stick of power, brother. Dixie Dynamite, American by birth and Southern by the grace of God.
All right, Dixie Dynamite fans, we'll be back. We'll have more action right after this. Fans, we're still checking on the condition of Jackie Fulton. We understand that he's shortly going to be taken to the hospital, and we'll let you know just as soon as possible and when we know just how he is. Right now, let's take a brief look at the first round pairings for the heavyweight title tournament on May 22nd at the Volunteer Slam in Knoxville. And as you look at these matchups, remember, this is the first round only. The winners will continue on that night, and the eventual winner will have to win 3 matches in 1 night. All that on May 22nd in Knoxville at the Volunteer Slam. Right now, let's hear from Brian Lee.
May 22nd, Volunteer Slam. Buddy Landell,
You can count on one thing, Primetime Brian Lee will be ready, and I will be there. 6'8", 280 pounds in your face all night. Now, I'm going to take a second to give credit where credit's due. You do come out here and run your chops real good, but let's see how good you wrestle in Knoxville. Volunteer Slam, Primetime, I'm coming.
And I see Buddy Landale headed this way. We're going to get some words with him out there. But you see Buddy Landale using his experience and his expertise to get a big win over Nitro Danny Davis. Good win, Budrow. Good win.
You did it to Nitro Danny Davis on the 22nd. Can you do it to Brian Lee?
Well, Brian Lee, I think all the talking's been said.
That's right, Dutch. I'm going to rip your head off and dump in your neck. You got it? I don't care how big you are. I don't care how bad you are. If I got to take something out and cut your head off, I'll do it, boy. It's the way I feed my family. You got it? You understand what I'm talking about? So Brian Lee, May the 22nd, the Volunteer Jam, the Knoxville Coliseum, buddy, you're mine all night.
All right, with the Volunteer Slam, you got to win three matches to win that. You know that, Brian Lee?
Hey,
he's just your first
one. I don't care if it's Paul Orndorff. I beat Paul Orndorff. He's not around here nowhere, is he?
I don't see him.
Yeah, good. He knows better. I beat Paul Orndorff so many times. I've beat up Stan Lane, Tom Pritchard. I've beat them all up. Rip Rogers. It don't make no difference to me. I'm non-discriminate. Yeah, he knows better. Yeah, he knows
better. He knows better than be out here, you say. All right. Nature Boy Buddy Landale fans. He says he's primed, he's ready for the Volunteer Slam on Friday, May 22nd.
I'll tell you one more time, Brian Lee, you better think about this twice. You'd rather walk through hell with gasoline drawers on than be there with me, baby.
All right, from Nature Boy Buddy Landale, we'll be back, fans, right after this. Fans, back to more Smoky Mountain wrestling action in the heart of West Virginia in just a moment. First, this reminder, wrestling in Beckley on Sunday afternoon. That's May 17th at 2 p.m. It's WOAY TV Channel 4 Day. Now, this is what that means. All kids under 12, only 4 cents. That's 4 cents with a paid adult. It'll be held at the Raleigh County Armory. That's in Beckley on Sunday, May 17th at 2 p.m. You'll see Dixie Dynamite against Dutch Mantell. Tim Horner will take on Buddy Landale. Robert Gibson against Jimmy Golden. Brian Lee against the Dirty White Boy with Ron Wright in the White Boy's corner. A special referee, Bob Armstrong, for that match. Six big matches in all, fans, including a Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team title match with Oak Hill's own Batten Twins against these guys, the Heavenly Body.
Let me ask you, did I hear you say all kids in for four cents in Beckley?
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's good. That's good. 4 cents. That's about what they're worth. Bring them on down there. It's cheaper than hiring somebody to sit home and watch them and slide them a fresh plate of dog food every now and then. Bring them on down there for 4 cents. And let them see what people from Oak Hill, what people from Beckley really look like, the Batten Twins, when they get slapped around by the Heavenly Bodies, the new Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, just the same thing they did to the Fantastics. That's what's going to happen to Oak Hill's pride and joy, Bart and Brad Batten. Right, boys?
You know what? The only thing that makes me madder than coming to Beckley, West Virginia, is the fact that all those snotty-faced little punk kids under 12 will get in for just 4 cents. They ought to be paying $40 to see the Heavenly Bodies, right, Tom?
You see, the fact of the matter is, Stan, we didn't become the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champions by being nice guys or hometown favorites. We did it by stepping in the ring, and we did it by beating people up. So, you see, if you want to bring a couple of guys like the Batten Twins who are from Beckley, West Virginia, it doesn't matter to us because you're looking at the greatest tag team champions that come to Smoky Mountain Wrestling yet, and we got the belts to prove it, boys. So, in Beckley, West Virginia, Batten Twins, lace them up good.
Now, I've offered Bobby Fulton more partners, but he doesn't want any partner but his brother, and I can certainly understand that. Since all four of those men volunteered to go in a non-sanctioned match, I have to declare here and now that the Heavenly Bodies are the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions.
Okay, there. And here is Bobby Fulton. Bobby?
I want to tell you something right now. Listen, I'm getting ready to take my brother to the hospital, brother, but you can count us down right now, but not out. I've got one thing to say right now. We're coming back after Coronet's Heavenly Bodies, and when we get back, I guarantee one thing right now for certain. You know, Bob, you said Tim Horner's wanted to be my partner. Robert Gibson's wanted to be my partner. But hey, they're not my brother. They're not my partner. I'm going to stand out and wait. But Coronet and Heavenly Bodies, when we get back, you can be rest assured one thing. You're going to see one hell of a fight.
That's going to wrap it up for this week. Next week, a preview of the Volunteer Slam, the road to Knoxville. See you next week.